Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, happy Thursday to you, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm here every day. I come in around 6, or actually I come in around 5, but I'm on the air around 6, and we're here with you all morning long until we hand it over to the national guys at 10 o'clock. And today I'm pleased to have, it is Mayor Thursday. No, I don't have a mayor, but I have a mayor's husband. Does that count for
something?
Willie Billings is here. Hi, Willie. How are you?
I'm well. Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming in. And for those that don't know, Willie is right now, he was just re-elected, kind of, to the Washington County Republican Party as the chair now.
Yeah.
And when I say re-elected, he wasn't before. That was Lisa Sandberg, but he was before that, right?
Yeah, about 12 years ago.
12 years ago, okay.
Yeah.
So what in the world would make Willie want to go back and do it again?
I've been asked that a lot, but especially the people that worked with me 12 years ago, because I got a lot of phone calls when I made that decision, because I was the chairman here 12 years ago, and then for 2 years after that, I was the vice chairman of the state Republican Party.
Oh, wow.
And so I had people all over the state going, what are you doing? Why would you do that again?
Glutton for punishment?
Yeah.
Now, not that long ago, you ran for a state house seat.
Yeah.
And that was, by most accounts, one of the closest races in the history of Utah. 10 votes separated you and Joe Elison.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of those really, really good races where we were respectful towards one another, and the citizens really had two good candidates, you know, to choose from. You know, there wasn't a big difference between Joe and I. He's a fantastic legislator, but he's a great man, great husband, great father. I've just known him for years and years. His son, Adley, I really, really like Adley.
Good guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So yeah, that came down to a really, really close vote.
10 votes.
Yeah.
Out of how many were there total votes?
Close to 9,000, I think.
Wow, yeah. To have it be that close is amazing. Were you... At the time, first of all, I agree with you. I think both you and Joe are great candidates, and I don't think there could have been, as far as the people are concerned, a loser in the case. Either one of you wins, we win.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the only difference between Joe and I is our focus, what we would focus on once we got there.
Right.
You know, he has his specialties and things he wanted, and I had things I wanted to work with lands and wildlife and you know, some educational issues, things like that. But Joe's fantastic.
When it's that close like that, is it hard to be, you know, you and I, we both love sports. Is it hard to be a good loser? You know, that whole thing, good sportsmanship, good loser, when it's that close. So would it have been easier to walk away if you'd have lost by 700 or 1,000 or something?
I don't know. I felt really good about it. That means, you know, almost half the people wanted me in that position. And it's always hard to lose, but why? You know, if you lose a race like that, what are you attempting to do? You're attempting to provide and offer your services, without pay or without much pay at all.
And
just to serve your community. That's all, you know, when you've been around for, you know, when you're in your 50s and you've been around conducting business and being involved in leadership positions all over the place for lots and lots of years, you just see ways that your life experiences can help people.
Right.
And so if you lose a race like that, at least for me, it wasn't that I lost to Joe. Although if you are a competitive person like I am, and that comes from my athletic background and different things, it does hurt a little bit that way, but that's not that big a deal. It's just the fact that you had a chance to get in and attack some issues you really felt passionate about, that you felt like you would help the citizens of Washington County and the state of Utah, and certain things that you had special interest and special experience in, that you knew you could help fix some things, and you don't get a chance to do that, but that's about it. I mean, I wasn't sore about losing at all, you know, especially when you got a guy like Joe Elison I've said this time and time again in public. Is it really that big a deal whether Willie's there or Joe's there? I mean, in my world, it wasn't. That wasn't that big a deal. I wanted to win because I wanted to do it. But it wasn't that big a deal to me. And again, you're just offering your services to to help your communities. That's what you're offering to do, and there's more than one way to serve your community.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, I forgot to welcome Mello's here today, too. Hi, Mello. Yeah. You doing okay back there?
Yeah, good morning.
Appreciate you coming in today. Yeah. And so if you call into the show, and we'd love for you to call in at 673-5890 if you want to talk to Willie or ask us a question, or you can text me at 467-5842. If you do call in, you'll hear this voice first.
Thank you for calling the Andy Griffin Show.
Yeah, that's Mello.
Yeah.
Pretty good. You do that pretty good, Mello.
Mm, you're welcome.
We'll have to give you a raise. You can go up from nothing to nothing.
Thank
maybe,
you.
Or something.
That would be fabulous. I like blessings.
Speaking of not making very much, right, Willie?
Yeah.
So now you decided, okay, I'm gonna focus on getting back and helping lead the Washington County Republican Party. What is your goal in getting back into this? Because we joked about it earlier. What are you, glutton for punishment? Yeah. Here you are back in it.
No, it's interesting. A lot of people ask me that. And when I was the chairman before, I was the chairman and I had watched how the party had been run before. And we had good success when I was here. We broke some records as far as fundraising, but we also spent money, not just to exist as a party. We spent money on candidates to help them get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I donate money to the party, I want to make sure that it's going to do something. It's not going to sit somewhere. It's going to do something to help good, solid Republicans get elected.
Right?
Yeah. But that was 12 years ago when I did that. And now, after being the vice chairman of the state party and then being involved for all these years, I look at it completely differently now. The reason I would come back and do this at the request of, the state chair and I talked about the plan I've got to fix the problems within the caucus system and things mm-hmm. like that. And then Phil Lyman and I and several people, we've had conversations and they just encouraged me to come back and do this. and so I want to change Utah back to how it used to be, where we had more engagement by all of the Republicans out there, not just the people that continually come to caucus meetings every couple of years.
Right.
And 80...
Pretty much the same people every
time. It is.
Yeah.
It is. And everybody has been trying to chase the wrong thing. They're trying to increase caucus attendance. Well, what you're doing there is you're saying the people that have been coming to caucuses for the last 10 or 20 years, we're going to continue to try to increase the number of them that come to caucus meetings every 2 years.
Right.
Well, you're only dealing with 10% of the population there. And everybody keeps chasing that tail. And that's a symptom of the problem. We need the other 85 to 90% of the Republicans to know that the party exists and that it's here for them. And what resource are we to them? What value do we bring to all of the Republicans in Washington County, not just those that come to caucus meetings? And I want to make sure that they learn about us and they reach out and they find out that there's people right in their own neighborhood, multiple people right in their own neighborhoods that are involved and engaged. And these people have talked to all of the candidates. They've vetted them for months. They've asked them all the hard questions. And I want all the Republicans out there to know, hey, I know so-and-so through the block and around the corner. They know all these candidates. They've talked to them, Matt. They've asked them all the hard questions. And so I'm going to turn to them and find out who these candidates are, firsthand knowledge. And so I get a better feel for who these candidates really are rather than just watching a TV or ad or listening to radio ads or social media. That doesn't tell you who that candidate truly is.
There's a big chunk of people, though, that get their ballot, and all they can remember is what they heard on TV. All they can remember is what they heard on radio or maybe something they saw on social media. And so, you know, they get the ballot, and they're looking at it, and they're going, I don't know anything about this guy, but I remember this guy saying in an ad that he's for, you know, don't kill puppies. So I like that. I don't want puppies to die.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a check mark by that guy's name.
Yeah. I've been making a joke. You remember when we had last election cycle, everybody got these 5x7 color brochures. They got tons and tons of them by all of the different candidates. They got all these brochures in the mail. And if you spread them all out on the floor...
Sorry, I was trying to tell Mello the phone is ringing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Willie.
So all of these color brochures we got in the mail, by all of the candidates, if you take them all and spread them all over your kitchen floor and you remove the name and the picture, you can't tell the difference because they're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And anything you receive, any information you receive that's based on giant money getting it to you, you've got to question that because it's sometimes it's not true and it doesn't give you the truth on who that candidate really is. If we could all reach out to the candidates and all ask them the questions, on why did you vote for this? What's your position on this? What's your policy on this? Why this? And actually get to know them and find that out. But they can't reach out to all Republicans. That's why the delegates that are elected get that information. And then all the Republicans can call the delegates and say, tell me about these people.
So I guess the thing that's tough, though, is if I'm Joe average voter, and I kind of am, you know, just a radio guy, it's tough for me to go, wait, you want me to disregard what I just heard on TV? Because doesn't the TV always speak the truth?
Absolutely,
right?
Disregard
you want me
that.
To disregard this flyer I got in the mail? You know, and that's hard to do.
What's the evidence that that's even true?
There isn't any.
There's zero evidence.
But I heard
true.
It, so it must be.
The political strategists out there, they've understood that you just bombard people with lots of money.
Right.
And
They do.
They bombard them. And knowing that in the primary elections, people that have no other information are going to vote for the person they heard about the most rather than who's the best candidate.
That's true.
And the caucus system and the delegates are the ones that actually know that information, the truth about those people. And that's... I mean, if you're Joe Voter, but all of a sudden now you know that I've got four friends that live within three blocks of me that know these people and have asked them all the questions, boom. What if you call them and get the information? That'll change who you vote for rather than just what money sent you. We've got to eliminate money from this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's why the Count My Vote and the SB 54 thing even came through, because they realized when Bob Bennett got beat by Mike Lee, money's not winning anymore. So we have to create a path where money can now win. That's what happened.
That's bad.
I was
that's
there
bad.
When that happened.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about the word vet. You used vetted a couple of times, and I think most people probably know what it means, but maybe explain what vetting a candidate would entail. What does that mean? Say I don't know the candidates, but I know my neighbor vetted them. What does that mean?
That means when you're a delegate, when you get from the caucus system, mm-hmm. when you're a delegate, you were put in charge now to go reach out and talk to personally, face to face, or at least on the phone, every single candidate that they will be voting on, or people will vote on, and ask them all the tough questions about what's your position on this and this and this.
Okay. I heard this. Can you confirm or deny that?
Yeah. I heard you said this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than just asking the questions and getting the answers. When you meet somebody face-to-face, or even on the phone, you get a chance to talk to them, you get a feel for their spirit, too.
True.
You really get a feel for who they really are, and can I trust this person? And you can't get that through the TV or a radio ad or a brochure or social media. You can't.
Yeah.
That's why they spend so much money on that stuff, because they know that just bombarding you with information will buy your vote. That's literally what they do.
So what you're implying or inferring is that there are people, bad actors out there with lots of money who are trying to get certain people elected. Is
absolutely.
That true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who are these people, and why do they have so much money? Where is it coming from?
Well, that's a whole other story where all this super PAC money comes from.
Uh-huh.
That's not just Utah money. It's money from outside the state, too. These super PACs, just whoever they choose that they want to get elected, they just want that person to make it through to the primary, because in the primary, when you have three or four or five or six or seven candidates in the primary for one position, you only need to win by 20% of the vote. Well, if somebody wins by 20% of the vote, what that means is 80% of the public didn't want that person.
Yeah.
And that's not representative government. But money people know, hey, if it only takes 20% to win, we can throw money at it and make the difference. But if somebody's got to get 51%, it's a different story. So we've got to change that back.
So let me ask you the specifics about, for instance, say our governor's race this past election.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Cox, he kind of made himself look bad. He got mad at the convention. I don't know if you were there for that.
I was there.
He
lost his cool. The whole thing about disagree better went down the toilet, didn't it?
Yeah, he didn't disagree very well, did he?
His way of saying, hey, we need to disagree better, when he got up there and was arrogant and condescending and rude to 4,000 people that just spent the last 2 or 3 months vetting him and all the other candidates.
Right.
And he basically said, you people don't matter.
So he lost at convention. He did not win, but he paid the money. I think he paid for the signatures, right? He didn't even get them himself. He paid a company that got it, which is hard to believe. There are companies that do that.
They do, and
they make money to go out and get signatures. But he paid it, and I know there's some controversy. Some of his signatures were, you know, invalid, whatever. Forget all that. Just say we know he paid to get signatures to be in the primary. aren't there some candidates, and I don't know if Cox did this or not, but aren't there some candidates that pretty much at this point have disregarded the convention altogether? They're like, I'm not even going to try there because I know I'm in anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what Spencer did. I mean, because by getting up and giving that speech, he was sending a message that I'm gathering signatures and all these tens of thousands of hours that all you put in vetting candidates doesn't matter.
Wow.
I'm gonna circumvent you. And when somebody gathers signatures, the reality behind that is they are saying when they gather those signatures that I am signing this saying I approve of you to go take giant money to help win the elections, and I approve of you completely ignoring all of the vetting process, and I'm allowing you to not be vetted and ask any questions, just go directly to the primary. That's what you're doing by signing those signature gathering. Everybody in Washington County should say, no, we refuse to sign those. We're going to make you go through the vetting process.
It's weird that that's okay. And go back to when SB 54 was passed. How did it get passed so easily? Did they use scare tactics? How did they do that?
There's a group called Count My Vote that 12 years ago was threatening the state legislature that if you don't give us a dual path and basically turn us into California where it's just a pure primary system, we're going to get rid of the entire caucus convention system and we're going to go a statewide ballot initiative and get everybody to sign saying we want to get rid of the caucus convention system and go to a pure primary system, which that just turns us into California.
Would that have worked, their threat?
I don't know if the threat would have worked or not, but it's easy to get people to sign things when you don't tell them the complete truth. Yeah. If somebody comes by your house and says, hey, will you sign this? I want this candidate. Candidate wants to get on the ballot in the primary ballot. And if he doesn't, your signature doesn't count. You want your signature count, don't you? Yes. Okay. Oh, sign. Of course, yeah. And so they don't tell you the truth behind that, and people will just sign things. So my game plan in Washington County is to make Washington County the beacon of how we save the caucus system, where the citizens in Washington County love the county party. They turn to the county party for their resources on who to vote for, and they refuse to sign the signature paths.
Somebody just texted and said, what's the point of a caucus if Spencer Cox fraudulently can get on the ballot, which is
great
pretty
point.
Much what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we're going to stop short of fraudulently. I don't want to get sued or anything.
I don't want to assume that it was fraudulent. I mean, but even if it wasn't, just the fact you're getting people, 18 to 20-year-olds from out of state, and you're paying them to come and gather signatures, that right there reeks of potential fraud, or at least people not being up front and telling you the truth why they're wanting you to sign it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone line. Greg is on line one. Greg, what's up?
Hey, Andy. Hey, Willie.
Hey.
So our county's in good shape, Willie. We appreciate you bringing new, fresh energy to us, and appreciate you serving. We are in good shape down here, and this signature thing's a different deal for me. I enjoy and love the caucus system. I understand what it does. But my question is, I'm going to just shift a little bit here, Willie. We've tried in the past, with all the growth and the responsibility of our county commissioners, we've tried at least two, three other times to hate to grow government, but to see five commissioners in our county to share the responsibilities, because there's a lot of work to be done. I think three is too powerful. Just wanted to get your views on this. And every time we bring it up, and not to call out Victor, but he always gets sensitive, like we'd lose our county to a purple state, so to speak. But I think there's enough conservatives here in our county to really, you know, make this a reality. It's just I just cringe a lot of times when we see candidates get in there for two, three terms. My dad always said, if you're in there to three terms, somebody's in your pocket. So
that sounds like something Nanette Billings would say right there.
Yeah, that's why Nanette pushed that two-term issue in Hurricane City.
Right.
Because two terms is enough. Get out and go back in and earn your living somewhere else under the laws that you helped create, and don't absolutely live the rest of your life off of the government and the taxpayers.
Let's get Willie's thoughts, Greg, if you don't mind. Let's get Willie's thoughts on the county commissioners. Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. You know, on as far as three commissioners or five commissioners, to be honest, I haven't delved into that deep. You have to look at the pluses and minuses, and what are the unintended consequences of that, and what are the unintended consequences of keeping three as our community grows. I that's not kind of been in my wheelhouse.
Right.
My wheelhouse is I want to keep Utah red, and it's we're the only state in the United States that went further blue during the presidential election. And you gotta when you look
what the heck is happening there.
Well, you have to look at that and say, okay, the success or failure of any organization comes down to the leadership of that organization.
Right.
And if we're turning blue, then the leadership of the entire organization statewide has to back up and say, okay, where am I doing this wrong? What do I need to do to change to protect our state?
The other thought I had as far as Greg's question is the county commission is a full-time paid job. It's a real job. It's not like, you know, you go to city council, you get a little stipend and you have a regular career and you do that in part-time. County commission is an actual job, so it would not be cheap to add two more commissioners. I know, you know, in the relatives, you know, when we're talking billions and stuff, it's nothing compared to that. But, you know, I mean, if you want to spend another $300,000-$400,000 on a couple of new commissioners,
yeah.
And that's talking about, you know, benefits and all the stuff they get.
Yeah.
That ain't cheap.
I mean, it's got to be $150,000 to $160,000 a year when you include benefits in
right,
that. And per, add two
yeah.
more. Yeah. And like Nanette is being the mayor, there's been some people on the council and other people saying, hey, we need to raise this. It's a full-time job. Nanette works 65-plus hours a week.
She is the hardest working.
Yeah, it's all the time because it's growing so fast. And somebody said, we need to raise that to $100,000 a year and give the mayor health benefits like the employees of the city do. And both Nanette and I are just aghast at that because we don't want that position to be something that people want it because they can make good money there.
Right, exactly.
We want that position to remain somebody that cares about the community. They love it. They want to help preserve the image and the heritage of it, and they're not doing it because they can make a lot of money.
Let's go to line two. Brian, what's going on, Brian?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I have a question that maybe you can help with. In our local area here, part of the challenge I think most of us out here have is just the credibility of any of these people that are in office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me give you an example. You go into the Washington County Commissioners meetings, and most public meetings have a public comment time after the meeting or
sure.
at the end of the meeting. They've changed this. They've changed it so that they don't have to be on the public record for anything that they say to these comments because they have it 30 minutes before the meeting, and it's ridiculous. You can't get any of your questions. You can't get them answered. You can't get them on record for what they're saying. And it's just the accountability's not there. You know, they tout themselves. In fact, they spent taxpayer money to make this video about Washington County being America's county. And I just see it so counterproductive. And it's a facade. What they're putting out there because they aren't listening to the people. They don't care what the people say.
Okay,
they're going to do what they want to do.
Let me get to Willie's comments on that. Thoughts, Willie?
Well, I believe for sure you need to have public comment. It needs to be part of the public record. I mean, everybody that's elected got elected by those people. When you're elected, the public has given them authorization to represent them and vote on their behalf. And so every elected official should be accountable to the people, and the people should have a voice, period. That, and if they don't want to have a voice, and I don't know the dynamics behind how the commission works and their public comment, but my position is, and I think it ought to be this way everywhere, is the people should have their chance to have their voices heard. But I also want to make sure the people understand that if you're going to go have your voices heard at a meeting, be respectful.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't need to go in there and attack people and do negative things and all that. Voice your concerns and then require them to answer those questions or at least get back. But let's be respectful. That's one of the biggest problems in politics and even in the country right now is when people disagree, they think they have to hate each other. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Be respectful. That's your brother or sister up there. But on the same side, if you're an elected official, you got to remember that person that's got that question helped elect you, and that is your brother or sister down there, too. Let's be respectful and loving towards one another instead of spiteful and negative.
My mom always used to say what you got to say, but show a little class.
Well, yeah, I mean the reality is, I mean, the first great commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart and might, mind, and strength, and the second is like unto it. love your neighbor as yourself. Ask yourself, are you doing that in the way you're treating people? Do people enjoy you being around, and are they better off because you're there? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah. Well, you look at the life of Jesus. Yeah, he loved everyone, but he also took a whip and threw the guys making money off the temple out of the plane because he was doing what's right. So, all right, we didn't mean to turn religious on you folks, but
sorry.
Yeah, exactly. We do need to take a commercial break. We'll be back right after this with Willie Billings.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
938 on KDXU, Willie Billings is on with me today. He is the chairman of the Washington County Republican Party, which is very strong right now, yeah?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
Greg was right in the previous. Our county is strong. The reason that the state chairman wanted me to do this down here is because we are truthfully the last bastion of true conservatism as a county. So we're going to win at this thing.
Yeah. All right. So we've been talking a little bit about it's almost like pay to play. You pay some money, you can get some signatures, and you can bypass the caucus system and get yourself on a primary ballot. That's what our governor did. And, you know, somebody said it was fraudulent. I'm going to stay away from fraudulent. He did what was legal. He paid, got signatures, and got in the primary, and that is the law right now. The problem is we're talking about what's wrong with that, and maybe, Willie, if you want to pick it up from there.
Well, what's wrong with it, it actually makes us like California.
We don't want to be like
because
California.
Because you have plurality in your elections. Instead of having two people running, and somebody has to get over 50% to be your elected official, you have three, four, five, six, or seven people in there, and you only need to win by 20%. And so, again, that's not representative. So that's prior to that, the caucus convention system, what is the caucus convention system? Its purpose and design is to take all the candidates that want to be governor or state representative or county commissioner and weed them down to only two so that only two people go to the primary. And so when the public gets to vote, it was interesting. They say that part of their argument is that your vote doesn't count. Yes, it does, because there's still going to be a primary and everybody gets to vote, but they've weeded it down to two people so that whoever wins got over 50% of the vote.
Right.
And they deserve to be our elected official. But if you get 20% of the vote, do you really deserve to be that person? No, because that's just like California, and that's the problem.
Do you believe, and I know I'm asking you to predict something that is hypothetical, but do you believe Spencer Cox would have gotten on the ballot otherwise had he tried more in the caucus? Would he have made it to primary, do you think?
That's a tough one, because if he would have engaged with the public like you're supposed to.
Right. But he didn't.
He refused to. And if he would have gone to the counties like most candidates do and engaged with the public and had public meetings and had people come in, I think he would have garnered enough support where he would have made it through the convention. I think that. But the fact that he just shunned everybody.
He did. Yeah.
And refused to go meet with the public and didn't have to answer those questions. This happens when you become an incumbent, because now you have all these war chests of money that you didn't have before. And so it's hard to go out and engage with the public and be under the gun to answer all those questions. That's harder than just taking all this money that you now have in your campaign coffers and just outspending people. It's easier to outspend people when you're the incumbent.
Sure.
But what the caucus convention system does, it allows your average people to come in and actually get elected without all of that money. And I guarantee you, absolutely, that your best candidates aren't necessarily that person that's got most of the money.
Well, and the other thing, too, just that word incumbent already brings with it, you already have one layer of bulletproof armor on already when you're the incumbent. And then if you throw in, like you said, the giant bags full of money, and we joke around about that, but there's a lot of money.
There's a ton of and the promises you've made.
Yeah, right.
And
sometimes they're tied to money.
And the future money that's going to come into you if you follow through on those promises. There's all kinds of stuff that happens that the caucus convention system negates all of that.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. You know, line one, I didn't catch your name. Go ahead, though.
It's Don.
Hi, Don.
I'm from Lower Santa Clara. I actually got the privilege of serving as a precinct chairman and a ledge chair two terms I actually like Willie's idea also. You get in, you serve your term, you get out, you let somebody else serve. But also keep in mind that everything that Adolf Hitler did in Nazi Germany was legal. So you can make the laws anything you want them to be. And again, it's discouraging when you actually know, live, and breathe the caucus system and know what it's capable of. Because I was there when we got Mike Lee over the hump, and that was a minor miracle. I really think that was a God thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it got to the point where if you don't stand up for the caucus system and what it's supposed to do, we're going to get run over, like Willie says, like California and Rustum. Sadly, I came from California. I knew what it used to be and was turned into, and I will not stomach that happening here in Utah. I came here loving everything Utah was, not want to change it, and I'm seeing a change that's really hurt me.
You know, he brings up a great point. Some of our strongest people in our caucus convention system within are the people that have moved here from other states.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've got Sean Butler, he's my chief of staff. He came from Arizona. He got out of there because of the garbage that was happening there. And we have the caucus convention system, and we have people that have moved in from California, Oregon, all these places that they're conservative. They just got sick of it, and they couldn't stand anymore. They come here, and they're the biggest advocates. We should be listening to those people because they know what happens.
It's kind of like people moving from Soviet Russia to the United States. And they talk about freedom, and they're like, you don't see what they're doing to you here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was raised with it, and I'm seeing it happen. Sometimes it takes somebody from outside to see the stink that's actually coming and actually be the one ringing the bell saying, hey, there's a problem.
Yeah, they need to be the voice of warning. And you mentioned the fact that you were there when Bob Bennett got beat by Mike Lee.
Yep.
That event, that happening, was the birth of SB 54 and the Count My Vote, because they realized at that point when Bob Bennett, with all his money in 30-some-odd years, got beat by Mike Lee, they realized that the caucus system is powerful and our money can't beat that all the time. So they wanted to get rid of it.
More powerful was Washington County was what the county that put him over the top.
It is.
We were the resounding county that basically put an exclamation point on Mike Lee is here.
It was, and when I was the vice chairman of the state party, right after Mike Lee got elected, I had lunch with him up in the state party headquarters. He literally looked in my face as we're having lunch and said, Willie, I would have never run against Bob Bennett if it hadn't been for the caucus system, because I didn't have the money to beat him, but I knew if I used the caucus system, I went and visited with the people, I could win, and he did. And that's when the big money people changed and said, we're going to go get rid of this caucus convention system.
Nice. Hey, Don, thanks for calling. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I know this is a stupid thing. It has nothing to do with politics, but a few years ago when I was in the hospital, somebody on Mike Lee's staff found out, and Mike Lee sent me a signed little card when I was in the hospital. I'm like, what a good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, the little things. And I have some personal stories about Donald Trump, too, that I had with him. And even though he calls people morons or whatever abrasive language he uses, I have some personal experiences with him that nothing will ever change my mind. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we're talking with Willie Billings today, and we're talking about the foils and foibles of SB 54. And I know you got a crusade going, and we want to make sure that people understand how important the caucus system is. I do have to get a commercial break in. We'll be right back.
Okay,
in about 2 minutes.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Down to the last 10 minutes or so of the show, I've got Willie Billings with me. I do want to mention a couple of things coming up this weekend that I find important. Number one, it's Arbor Day celebration in St. George, a chance to go out and plant some trees. And they're having a special program at 9:00 in the morning on Saturday morning at Bloomington Hills North Park. Chance to, like I said, plant some trees. You could win some shrubs to put in your own yard. So that's kind of cool. Saturday is also National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. There will be locations at Smith's, Walmart, St. George Police Department, and Utah Tech Police Department where you can thing. You know, those old drugs, that, you know, maybe some amphetamine or something that's sitting up in your cupboard. It's been there forever. Yeah, don't let someone discover it. Don't wash it down the sink. That's the worst thing you can do, by the way, because then it gets in the water supply. But instead, just take it and turn it in, and they'll dispose of it in a proper manner. And then for, you can see my shirt, Willie, it's BYU Fan Fest on Saturday.
Okay, yeah.
Right across the street here at Sandtown Park, Kalani Sitake, the football and basketball coaches and players will be here in town in St. George to just kind of, they're going to hand out some swag and all kinds of stuff.
Well, Saturday morning also is the Cotton Days Parade in Washington City.
That's right.
So we all come out and support that.
A lot going on. That is cool. Now, your wife's going to give a State of the City address coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up, I think it's next week.
Next week, And it's a nighttime deal. A lot of State of the City addresses and State of the County are daytime things, but she actually wanted to do it at night where families can come and kind of make this big, cool event out of it.
Yeah, a lot of times people give a State of the City or addresses when people are all at work and not many people can be there.
Right.
And you know, if you're going to give that address, put it at a time where people can actually attend.
Yeah, check out the Hurricane City website to find out the details on that, since neither Will and I can remember exactly, and we don't want to say.
5 p.m.
Oh,
on
Mello
Monday the 28th is when the festivities begin.
This coming Monday, 5 o'clock.
There's more than just the speech, too.
Okay, and it's where, Mel? Do you have where it is exactly? I know it's at one of the new gyms.
That was in my calendar.
It'll be at the new gym. There's only one new gym there. They're building a second one, this giant.
Okay.
But it'll be at the new gym up by the swimming pool up there.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. You get to see Willie's better half at that event, and we're lucky enough to have this. She was on a week ago today right here on this station. But Willie, you said something during the break that people didn't get to hear, but I want them to be able to hear it, and it's in reference to SB 54 and the caucus system and everything. Tell them what you told me. I like it.
Well, the state legislature is still under the threat of the Count My Vote group trying to do a ballot initiative statewide and get rid of the caucus convention system. So the state legislature is not going to get rid of SB 54. So the only way
it's not going away.
It's not going to go away legislatively. But what we can do is make it irrelevant.
Mm.
And Washington County needs to lead out. Citizens of Washington County, heads up right here. We need to be the beacon of light where we get rid of this thing in Washington County by the citizens making it irrelevant. And one way you can do it is get involved in the caucus system and learn where you can get the information about who to vote and change where you get your information on who to vote for. But the second thing, and very important, is when somebody comes by your home or they're standing at the grocery store or wherever and they're asking you to sign a signature gatherer's petition to get them on the ballot, decline to sign.
Not interested.
Decline to sign. I refuse to sign something that's going to turn it to where money wins our elections and money controls. Decline to sign it. Just say no. And if they can't get enough signatures to get on the ballot, SB 54 is now irrelevant and the caucus system wins.
Now, why do you say that SB 54 is not going to change? Just because I know it's a vote. It was like 60-20 or something, the vote to approve it. So it was overwhelmingly approved. You think that we'll never be able to change that?
Well, the legislators won't do it because they're being threatened by Count My Vote.
Oh.
Okay. Count My Vote is still saying, hey, if you do anything to get rid of SB 54, we're going to do a statewide ballot initiative, get everybody in the state to sign a petition to get rid of the caucus convention system altogether.
Which we don't
want. And that's my goal in Washington County, is make it to where it's impossible for them to do that, because Washington County citizens understand we like the caucus system and we hate big money dictating our elections. We do not want to be like California. So if I inform everybody in Washington County, then they can't come down here and get the signatures to get rid of the caucus convention system. If we make it that way, then the citizens are in control, not money.
Kind of like Mike Lee winning. The odds are maybe a little bit long, but if we can get this accomplished and make SB 54, like you said, irrelevant.
Well, big money came into play, and Count My Vote came into play because Bob Bennett got beat by Mike Lee. Mm-hmm. So the caucus system won. And money didn't. And as soon as that happened, the big money people said, let's change the system in Utah. Well, if we hadn't had the caucus system, we wouldn't have Mike Lee.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
Look at that.
That's pretty huge.
Look who we've got because of the caucus system.
Yeah. I money is funny because I've seen the nicest people in the whole world, when it comes down to money, they change. And there's a line from a movie that it's not personal, it's business. And the one character says, "Well, that's really a wrong thing to say, because of all things, it first should be personal before it's business."
Well, yeah, your character's at stake here.
Yeah,
you don't check your character at the political door,
right?
And to say, well, that's just business. That's just saying, I'm going to leave my character and my morals and my standards, and I'm going to give in to big money just because it's politics.
Yeah.
Wrong in every sense of the word.
So the number one thing we need to know as a regular average day person is, if those signatures come along, like you said, refuse to sign. I'm not going to do it.
Decline to sign that. Just say, no, I refuse to sign that. And just understand that by signing, you're saying, I'm approving big money to control. Mm-hmm. And by signing that, I'm saying, I'm allowing candidates to get on the ballot in the primary election without any vetting process. You bypass everybody, answer no questions whatsoever. Get involved. Go to our county website, Washington County Republicans, and come to our website and get the information there. But most important, I think, is just know that in your community, within your neighborhoods, there are people that have spoken to all of the candidates. They vetted them. They asked the questions. And go there to get your information as to where to vote. Don't pay attention to the TV ads and the radio ads. Sorry, we're on a radio right here. But okay. Go where you can actually get accurate information about them.
Well, and let's be honest, I've been in radio now. I've been doing daily radio for the last 6 years. And quite frankly, those people with the money, they come in and they buy a lot of ads. And do we as radio stations vet whether or not the ad is true? No, we take their money and play their ad. And mm-hmm. That's all that we do.
Yeah. So, but are you getting anything real? Anything verifiable?
No.
In the radio ads and the nothing. There's no evidence that any of that's true.
Right.
But you go talk to your neighbor that asked the candidates the question, vetted them. Now you're getting accurate information.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so we've got to keep the caucus system alive, and the best way to do that is to not let big money win.
Exactly.
I like it. Yep. By the way, down to 2 minutes, I forgot to mention, we should have mentioned it way earlier, that Willie has a business, and he would, what's the name of the business again? It was a big, long name, I can't remember.
Well, WealthWave is our company where we're working with middle American, lower middle income families and teaching them how money really works. It's called financial literacy. The bigger company is Transamerica Financial Advisors. That's the broker dealer. But really, we've changed things 4.5 years ago where we're focusing on helping people understand how money really works. And they don't. It's not taught in schools.
I was going to say, I'm actually shocked and amazed because, with each of my kids, when they got married, I sat down with them and I said, all right, let's talk about your budget. And they're like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, your budget. How much money do you bring in versus how much money is going to go out? That's a budget. Yeah. And this number on the left has to be bigger than this number on the right, or your budget is off.
It is. Right now is especially delicate inside the retirement communities, because those people with 401ks and they're trying to retire in the next 5 to 10 years, they've mostly been misled. They don't know how their 401ks work. They're investing in it, but they don't know anything about it. And there's some grave rules, grave mistakes that are made because they don't understand the rules. And I'm building an army of educators teaching people how that works so they don't lose all that money and they don't make those same mistakes that the government and corporations plan on you making so they capitalize on it.
Yeah, yeah. Financial literacy. I like
financial literacy. How money works.
We need more people to. Yeah. Okay. I can read that. That's literacy. No, I'm financial literacy. Yeah. Now this money has to be as much as this money, or you're in trouble.
You have to ask yourself, why is that not taught in our school systems?
Yeah.
I mean, the real stuff, not the general stuff that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Why is that not taught?
I would say, Willie, one of the best classes I ever took in college was a class called, I can't remember the name now, but it was basically teaching you how to live on a budget.
Yeah.
And well, we've never been exposed to that.
We've got the first book I've ever seen in my entire 38-year career called How Money Works, Stop Being a Sucker. It is an amazing book, thin characters, but it teaches the true stuff.
It's Willie Billings. Willie, thank you for coming in
today. Hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Out of time. Open lines tomorrow.